It's such a honor and privilege to stand before you all this morning. Before I go any further, I want to state a few things, ask a few questions, and thank a few people. Most importantly, I want to thank God for giving me the knowledge, the strength, the courage, and the ability to stand up here this morning. I also want to thank the elders for putting this task on me and trusting me to do so. It's being honored to be asked to speak before you all this morning. Dad said I had 45 minutes. I said, that won't be a problem. I'm going to try to get there. I want to begin by asking questions. This goes for the young people at first, and then it'll go to the young at heart next. Who all goes to a public school? And feel free to raise your hand. All right. Who all feels alone in that public school of being pretty much the only Christian? I went to a public school. I felt the same way. Who all works a public job? This is for everyone. Who feels alone when they work at that public job, being the only Christian there? In some ways, that can be bad, of being the only Christian and having the world influence you. But in some ways, it can be good. Have and so many open doors, so many opportunities for you to influence the world. And I want to begin by talking about my story. My story begins on July 27th, 2011, here at College View Church of Christ. When on that Wednesday night, I was baptized into Christ, put on that Christ as my name. Christian name. And a year or two later, I got with the wrong crowd. I was associated with things of the doings of that crowd that I'm not proud of. At that point in my life, I fell away. And this went on for a few months, and I was disrespecting my parents, lying to their face, and being someone on Sunday that I wasn't being on the rest of the week. And once my parents kind of caught on to my game that I was playing at that point in time, they sat down and talked to me. And being I had a little stubborn streak, and the stubbornness came out, and I kind of pushed it away. And a brother here, I'm not going to mention his name, because he did it out of the kindness of his heart. He didn't do it out of recognition. He didn't want anything from that. He came to my house on a Friday night, and he was discussing things with me that I needed to change in my life. He left with a few things that stuck in my mind about being a leader, not being a follower. And to influence your worldly friends, that's what it's going to take. You have to be that leader and not the follower. You cannot be afraid to be different when being an influence on your worldly friends. When I was looking up the word influence, I ran upon a few definitions that really stuck out to me. The first one is the power to have an important effect on someone or something. The next being a factor that tends to have an effect on what you do. And the last one, a power affecting a person, thing, or course of events, especially one that operates without any direct or apparent effort. I found those definitions online, and the few words that they had in common was power or factor. And being that power or factor in someone's life, that takes being a leader, what I just said, of being different, being not afraid to stand out. You want to ask, you want the people to ask of the world, why? And by that I mean, I didn't go to my junior or senior prom. There was people that asked me, why? And I just point out to the fact that I don't think it's a good place for a Christian guy for like me to go. There was countless temptations at prom that night that I knew of that was going to be there. After talking to a few of my Christian friends, I realized that it wasn't a smart choice for me to go. And that kind of goes back and forth on making that people ask why. asking, why don't they go there? Why don't they do that? Why am I doing the stuff that I'm doing? Is there something wrong that I'm doing? You want to make them ask why. And jumping back into my story, a week or two later, after the brother came to visit me that Friday night, I came to church that Sunday, pulled Mr. Jacob back to the back, talked to him, saying that I fell away. And he was saying things of God's forgiveness. God will forgive you, but you have to be willing to change your life. And since then, the words of Mr. Jacob and that brother that came and spoke to me, I've changed my life. And I try to be that influence to my worldly friends without them influencing me. There are times that are hard. There's times that struggle. There was a brother last Sunday that came forward, and I asked him if I could use him as an example. He says, yes, I want my story out there. I want my story to be told so no young Christian will make the same mistakes as I did. He did something on a Friday night that I've never seen done before. He posted something on Facebook saying that he was wrong. He let down God. He let down many people in his life. That took a lot of humility on his part. And he made a post, I think it was Monday, that said, because of what he did, two of his old friends texted him and said they gave up their old lives as well. He was an influence to those two people in this situation without saying anything to them directly. He was influencing those friends without them influencing him in this situation. I ran upon an acronym for the influence. I want to start with I, and it stands for imitate. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll be reading verse 16. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth, saying, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Verse 16, I don't think Paul is trying to be arrogant when he said, imitate me. He's a worker for God. He was an influence to a world of sinners that did not influence him after he was converted. And he's saying, imitate me, because he imitates Jesus' teachings. And also another account of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Children, I'm only 18 years old, and I want to use my little sister as an example. She's not in here, but she likes the attention, so I don't think it embarrasses her too much. She has babysitters that she loves, and by loves, it's Mammy, Papaw, which are the babysitters, Mom, Dad, Grammy, Pap, which are my grandparents, Jax, which is our dog, then Zach, if that tells you. And she says stuff that Papaw, which is a babysitter, says. He has a real country draw of Sprite instead of Sprite and Light instead of Light. And we ask her where she hears this. She says, Papaw. And it kind of is an imitation of him through her. And that's the way we need to be with God. We need to imitate God as much as we can, so we can be that influence on the world without the world being influenced on us. Children imitate television, such as TV shows, YouTube, Netflix, and so on and so forth. And I'm going to pick on my sister again. She loves watching YouTube. She watches the most craziest things. So many challenges that they're out there, like the Bean Boozled Challenge or something like that. I think that's right, isn't it, Mom? And when we're having a conversation with her, she'll just pop off with something crazy saying. And I'll ask her, say, or Mom, I ask her, well, after we're wiping the tears because we're crying so hard and laughing so hard about what she said, and say, Addie, where'd you hear that? She looks up with this innocent little grin that she puts on and says, the YouTube. That's where I heard it. I heard it from the YouTube. And children imitate what they see, whether it is on YouTube or movies, Disney movies, which my family loves. And they also look up to parents and older siblings. If you have a younger sibling, I don't care what you say, they look up to you. They look up to you in a way that you look up to someone else. And what you do, they see what you're doing. They keep it in the back of their mind. And there's two brothers in here that I'm not going to mention any names. One was at camp. And the younger one, we was talking to him, me and Nick were. This has been 2 or 3 years ago. And he says, I want to be just like my brother when I get older. And I take that to heart, and that kind of made me realize that even though Addie is a girl and there's 13 years difference between me and her, she still looks up to me even though that I'm down at the bottom on the love totem pole. And so no matter what age you are, there's always someone that's going to be looking up to you. No matter if you're 80 or 8, there's still someone going to be looking up to you. Teenagers imitate entertainers. And by entertainers, I mean actors, musicians, and in my case, athletes. In elementary school, ironically, this has come up because the Cavs won the finals. I was a big LeBron James fan. Still am to an extent today. And growing up, I always wanted the brand new pair of LeBrons for the next basketball season. And teenagers want things and want to do things that the celebrities do, the entertainers do. And whether it is, I don't know if any of you all know Bryce Harper or not, he plays baseball, whether it is his goofy haircut for that season, whether it is almost bald on the sides and really long on top, there's going to be people, teenagers, that want that done. I was one of those. Mom talked me out of it, of letting my hair grow out and shaving the sides, thankfully. And no matter what it is, teenagers will want to imitate entertainers and celebrities. Which comes to my final point in the word imitate. Others imitate you. And I'm speaking to the young people here on this one. No matter what age you are in school, I don't care if you're the most popular or the unmost popular, someone is going to be looking up to you, is going to be looking to you. You're going to have an influence on them, no matter if you think you are or if you don't. I have a cousin, his name is Matt, and ever since I was born, ever since I could remember, I always wanted to be like Matt. I look up to Matt in a way that I look up to my dad and others in my family. But my dad and Matt and my grandpa, I put on a higher pedestal than I do anybody else. And anything that Matt had, I wanted. He took me turkey hunting and I used his gun. When I went home, I said, Dad, I want that gun. Or if it would have been a piece of clothing that he was wearing, I wanted something to look just like it. And no matter going back to the age, someone's going to be looking up to you the way I look up to Matt. Whether it is a younger brother or sister or someone in school that don't really have anybody to look up to, that may not know God, may not know what God is. You want to be that good influence on them, because that could be the only good influence they have in their life. And God tells us to be that shining light. And being a good influence, you don't necessarily have to do anything out of your way as long as you're living for God. You may not have the best talking skills, but if you're acting the way you should be acting and doing the things you should be doing, believe it or not, that's going to influence someone around you, whether you know it or not. The first N in influence stands for neighbors. John chapter 4, if you would like to turn there. John chapter 4, verse 39. I want to be reading John chapter 34, or John chapter 4, verse 39 through 42. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The Samaritan woman, in verse 39, went around telling many people of the city that what Jesus told her. He told her everything that he's done, everything that she's done. And by that, of her telling them, the people grew interested in what Jesus had to say. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be like that Samaritan woman. And maybe not just go around, we cannot say, "Jesus told me everything that I've done." But we can tell them what he said in the past, his commandments in the Bible. This is more than just a book. I think it's the most bought book, but the less read, I believe, if I'm right on that. And that's kind of hypocritical of saying, "I want a Bible just so people can see that I have a Bible in my house. I may not read it, but I've got one." What's the sense of having one if you're not going to use it? Use the Bible to your advantage. The people that lived in Christ's day, they didn't have a Bible to look to and have every word ever written for the Bible with them at all times. We have this as a tool to help us. This is our guide. This is our map through life. We need to use it to influence our worldly friends and use it for defense so they cannot influence us. If you would, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. "For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The way you treat your neighbors, meaning the people that you're associated with and you see every day, the way you treat them will influence them. If you treat them in a bad way, you're giving them a bad influence. If you treat them in a good way by going out of your way, if you're in a public school and you see someone drop their books, don't just walk over it. Bend down there, help them pick that up. I don't care if it's the most, I want to call them, nerdiest kid in school, and you're one of the most popular. You want to help them because you don't understand the impact you will have on their life. you don't understand the good influence that you will have to them. The F in influence stands for family. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him. Abraham influenced his family throughout his life by his actions. And responsibility and opportunities of young people influencing their family members exist, whether you don't know it or not. And no matter how old or how young you are, you're an influence to those around you, including your family, including your mom and dad. You can be an influence to them. Being only an 18-year-old, I'm influenced by the young people that are younger than me here. I know little Elijah, he's often standing back here at the door, letting people out, opening that door. He can't do much to an extent in worship service yet. But just those little things influence people. I know if I'm wearing a tie, he'll come up to me, and if he was wearing a tie, we'll have a full-blown conversation about ties. And that influences me that he's not really afraid to come up and talk to someone older than him. He's not intimidated by that. And those things influence me by saying, don't be intimidated by some person that looks rough in the world. Just go say something to them about God. You want to plant that seed. God gives the growth. And if you plant that seed, God gives the growth. Sometime down the road, they might become the next Paul of being, spreading the word, talking to anybody, as Ethan said yesterday, talking to complete strangers. And the gospel grows. God's family grows. Earlier, when I talked about influence of the movie, Have On Us, in Lilo and Stitch, they say, Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. The gospel is for everyone. We don't need to leave them behind or forgotten. As a Christian, we enter a family that we cannot leave behind or forget. We want to take as many as we can to heaven with us, become part of God's family. When one obeys the gospel, like I said just a second ago, they become part of God's family. And whether they're not here on every Sunday or haven't been here in a month, don't leave them behind. Do not forget them. Be that good influence to them that you are to the world. You can influence people in your church. That's what the L stands for, is the local church. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you're here, not forsaking the assembly, you're encouraging, you're influencing those in the local church that you're a part of. Whether it is just singing, or you're staying up here talking, giving a talk or preaching, leading singing, leading the Lord's Supper, leading the prayer, you don't have to do that. You could be a teacher in the back. You're still influencing someone that day. You can be Someone just sits in the pew. But if you put your whole heart, soul, mind, and body into the worship service, you're influencing those by uplifting those around you. You're being that influence, maybe not to the world, but you're being a good influence to those in the local church. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. We are to take of the Lord's Supper together as one. That means you have to be here to partake of it, of if you want to take it together as a whole in a local church. And there's some places around the world that don't have this building surrounding us, protecting from the sun, the heat in this morning's case, or the rain, or in the winter, the coldness. There's some, as we've seen in Cuba, that worship in someone's house, that one of them was a living room, didn't have a roof on it. And we have the awesome privilege of worshiping without hiding and being fearful of persecution. We need to take advantage of that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to take advantage of that, young people, right now. Because as the next president election comes up, nothing's promised. Nothing's promised of the next 10 or 15 years of having the freedom to worship a God who created this world. This country is going down a path that does not need to be going down. And there could be a time in the young people's life, maybe my lifetime, maybe sooner, that we may not have the privilege to sit here and worship God the way He wants us to worship. And no matter what age you are, members can be touched by you. As I said earlier, Elijah, I don't know exactly how old he is. Three years old, and he influences me. Or it could be Miss Edna sitting up here influencing the ladies in the congregation, influencing me, influencing my dad, anybody. No matter what age you are, you can influence someone, you can touch someone in the local church. The U in influence stands for unseen people. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans 1, verse 8 says, "First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world." The last part of that I want to reread. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul's talking to the brethren in Rome, and the saints that are in Rome, just because of how they act, their faith, they're known around the world. And we can speak, or we can influence those unseen people that we don't know about by influencing one person. Then that person will influence another person. Chain reaction. And with that, you're influencing unseen people. And Matthew chapter 28, often known as what I'm going to read, is the Great Commission. And I'm not going to take the time to read it. But yes, I am. I'm going to change my mind on that. It says, "Go therefore," verse 19, "go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." We need to go out into the world, being that good influence on the world, without yourself being influenced, and preach the gospel, baptizing people all around the world. Christians' influence is supposed to be worldwide, such as in Cuba and Philippines, which we support. The E in influence stands for environment. Acts chapter 19, verse 10 and 26 through 27, which I might want to take the time to read. Paul changed the religious environment of the whole city. He preached to many people, Jews and Greeks, verse 10, and turned away many gods. By gods, I mean the worldly gods. Many of their people teaching them, and they followed with God's teaching. And just one person changed the whole city by his actions. Young people, imagine if one person changed the whole city, what 10 or 12 of us can do to the world. If you're willing to go out and teach and preach and be in that good influence without yourself being influenced, imagine what you can do, male or female, 8 or 80, of what you can do to someone in the world today. The N stands for negligent, which means pretty much being lazy. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, it's the talents. We need to use our talent, whether it is Kevin's good song leading up front, someone leading, doing the scripture reading, someone leading the Lord's Supper, if you're a teacher back there. We're a body, as we are a family. And in a human body, I'm not a biology person by no means, but everything has its place and for a reason in the body. If not, why would God have made it for us? Each and every single one of you sitting in the pew and those in the back that can't hear me in the class has their own part in the Lord's church. Use your talent. If you don't know what your talent is, find it. And once you find it, do not stop using it. Help someone else find their own talent. The C stands for class. Whether you're in school or you're in church, in Bible class, you can influence the classmates around you. And seeing that I'm running out of time, I want to skip forward to the last part. It stands for eternity. I want to emphasize on this. The last E stands for eternity. And turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, and of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive an reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer the loss, and he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Your influence will be shown on the day of judgment. Do you want your influence to be shown as good and go through that fire? Or do you want your influence to be bad and burn up in that fire? In conclusion, I went to a life celebration yesterday of one of my really close friends growing up. And throughout this time, this day, during this celebration, he was talked about how good of influence he was on somebody. This man is Christian Shavern. He's supposed to speak here this morning, which I would gladly let him take my place here if he was here this morning. Christian has a story. His story began on February 22nd, 1994 in Louisville, Kentucky. He spent his first few years in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and grew up in Mufferville, Kentucky. He put on Christ in baptism in 2003. He graduated from Hart County High School in 2012. He attended Western Kentucky University from 2012 to 15, studying medicine with the goal of becoming a pediatrician. He found his true love, Anna, I can't pronounce her last name, in 2015. He enjoyed cheering on the Louisville Cardinals, Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, and enjoyed playing and winning nearly every sport. He was dedicated to serving the Lord and serving others, never missed an opportunity to smile or share a hug. He graduated from this life on May 26, 2016. Christian is a guy that I want to be. He made such an impact on my life and my family's life. In high school, he got the nickname Church. There's a reason for that, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't care who you were, how scary you looked. He was going to tell you about God. And he called it his signature smile, lit up a room. And this young man that died at the age of 22 influenced the world without the world influencing him. And that's why I want to stress, young people, ones that are here this morning, be that influence that Christian was on me. Be that Christian that I look up to, that I want to strive to be. Have that effect on someone. Don't be afraid of what your classmates in school want to call you. I mean, to me, Church would be an excellent nickname. And Christian didn't care, even to the point where his girlfriend of 2 years, they broke up because she wanted a little bit more in a relationship than he wanted. And he was putting God first. He was putting God first in his life, which that's my challenge to you young people, is put God first in your life. And you will be that good influence that to your worldly friends without them influencing you. I want to thank everyone for listening and their time this morning. Thank you.